today on Real Radio.
He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And that is still true today. The words Jesus declared are true forever.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Answers Prayer, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. In the message called True Christian Ministry from Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, we learned that true Christian ministry is divided into three parts. There's the spiritual aspect to ministry, the meaningful acts of ministry, and the practical side of ministry. And now in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19, we'll see how God releases Peter from prison through the fervent prayers of the church. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that we all want our prayers answered by God, especially during a crisis. But many times we suffer because God has been rejected. This was the case for the early church when Herod Agrippa was named king of Judea, and he ruled with an iron fist against the church. And now, in his lesson called When God Answers Prayer, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, and so when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four squads of soldiers to be kept, intending to bring him before the people at Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter slept, or sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off of his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." And so he went out and followed him and did not know that it was done by an angel that was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when he was past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for a certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectations of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many gathered together praying. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison and said, "Go tell these things to James and the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and did not find him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Long portion of scripture, very important piece of scripture that we do well that we listen to this morning. If you're taking notes this morning, you want to jot down the title. And the title is When God Answers Prayer. And don't you want your prayers answered? Right after last service, first service this morning, we were gathered together to pray for a woman who just found out that she has cancer. And let me tell you, she wants her prayer answered. And we do too. we often cry out to God, and prayer is this mysterious thing. We know, at least some of us, have been absolutely convinced that prayer is real and it is a present help in time of need. Yet so many, sad to say, in the Christian church, so many who are even Christians do not avail themselves of the power of prayer. And Jesus has given us many guidelines about how we ought to come to God in prayer, mainly through his name. Jesus discounts and Jesus puts down the attempt for us to come to God in prayer via our good works, via what we might have in the way of faith or the lack thereof. Jesus puts us down and puts down the idea that we can somehow come to God through saints or through some other types of practice. It is nowhere in Scripture. Jesus commands to us that we are to pray directly to the Father in his name by the Holy Spirit. And that is the pattern. And we need to be careful as we get into this study. God has given us prayer as a powerful tool. This past week, in fact, we got home late last night. We spent the week in Utah, and we met with a bunch of neat believers up there who get the tapes here, and they're growing in the Lord, and we're blessed to be able to do that for them. But one of the things that we did was we went to the Mormon temple and went around that. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but this is my second visit to the temple there in Salt Lake City. And one of the stories that they will tell you is that the church failed. The church at a certain period of time became morally and spiritually bankrupt, and it ceased to exist. And it was because of that that the angel came, fulfilling Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, by the way, that says you are not to believe any angel that gives to you another gospel other than what which has been delivered here from the Bible. Let that angel be accursed. The word is, that's a nice word of saying be damned, by the way, in the Greek. But we were there, and before we even went in, we prayed out in the parking lot that God would protect our hearts, especially our children, from the influence, because you can't get any better looking than the people and then the presentation. It's fantastic. That's not true. And that may hurt you, but if you read your Bible, you'll find out that it's not true. There is no revelation of the Latter-day Saints. You want to know why? There are many reasons why, but there's one, only one, that's good enough: at the mouth of the Savior himself. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, Peter had just made the great announcement, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, upon that rock, upon that foundation that you have just stated, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." And there is a period of dark history within the church. During the dark ages, where there were very few believers, so many massacres and so many strange things were done in the name of the church that were false, and it wasn't the church at all. But the church has never ceased to exist. Jesus never fails at pastoring his church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody have that? I may fail, you may fail. Jesus never fails. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." And that is still true today. The words Jesus declared are true forever. But in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 19, we see another attempt of the world system, I think, operated by Satan, to destroy the work that God has established. We'll look real quickly at verses 1 and 2, and then on we'll be with what is entitled this morning, the message that when God answers prayer. And so verses 1 and 2, let's dive in and look at it. It says there, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword." And if you're taking notes, you ought to jot this down. First of all, there's a problem just in verse 1. Herod the king? What do you mean Herod the king? It's not to be. Israel was never to have a king. Even though Rome is exercising its tremendous grip upon the Judean area and upon the nation Israel, it was never supposed to have been that way. It was not to be. Israel was supposed to be governed by God. It was the only theocracy that God had ever established. All of the nations of the ancient world had their kings and their presidents and their councils, but Israel did not have a king. Israel had God as their leader. But there came a point in Israel's history where Israel said, you know what? We want to have a king like all the other nations have a king. We kind of like that. We can see him. You can yell at him if you want to. You can watch him go by in his chariot. We want to have a king like that. And Samuel said, oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. You see, we are a theocracy. God is our leader. We look to God for our direction. He's the one. And they said, no. You know, we want somebody that we can touch and feel. And so Samuel goes and he's weeping and he's bummed and he's crying. And God says to Samuel, don't cry. Don't get disappointed. Stand up. Dry your eyes. Don't wimp out on me. It's not you that they're rejecting, Samuel. It's me. They don't want me in their life. They don't want me to lead them. They don't want me to guide them. And so God sent to them a king, a guy by the name of Saul, which was never supposed to be. And it was from that moment on, under the rule and the reign of God, that human government began at that moment to butt heads with God's kingdom, and it's never changed. Are you aware of that? It's not changed? Are you watching the news? Are you voting? Are you in your community with your eyes open? Government is man's attempt to lead men. And it will always fail. Listen, you and I live in the greatest democracy in the world. And the reason why it's great is because it was founded upon God. It's the only reason. A lot of nations have tried other forms of government, but God has been our foundation. That's why it has worked. But even within a government like ours, if a man begins to have power, like it said, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. If God is not in the heart of a man or in the heart of a nation or in the heart of a ruler, that nation will become a totalitarian movement. In fact, even in our wonderful government, we are still under, believe it or not, a controlled tyranny. That's what democracy is. It's a controlled tyranny. It's just we've been blessed by having a good one. God is the rule. He is the leader. We are to live under a theocracy where God leads. The king, Herod, was not to be leading. And so sad to say, so many things that they're going to suffer and have suffered is because God had been rejected. And this morning's study is no different. It says King Herod stretched out his hand. Well, first of all, which Herod is this? Have you read through your Bible? There's a bunch of Herods. Well, this is the head Herod. This is the top banana, big kahuna Herod. Herod Agrippa I. And there's a Herod Agrippa II that Paul will appear before later. But Herod Agrippa I is the grandson of Herod the Great. And they're all a bunch of weirdos. Roman history tells us that it was safer to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son or wife. Why? Because he killed all of his sons because he thought they might take the throne from him. And he killed all of his wives because he thought that she put, or the wives had put the thought into their sons' heads to take the throne. But with this guy, there was an extreme, extreme insecurity complex. And he ruled with a rod of iron, and that's very tragic. But he thinks he's going to do away with the church. Watch what happens here. It says that he stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. That is the leadership of the church. Now watch what happens. Then he killed James. He got this thought in his head, I'm going to stretch out my hand to persecute the church. Why? This Herod was an Idumean, which means he was half Edomite and half Jewish. He had Jewish blood in his veins. And Rome had set him up in such a way that they had told him, if there's any more uprisings in the area of Judea, we're going to deal with you, man. You're going to be on the hot seat. So they put him into play because they thought that he could keep the insurrections down because he was part Jewish. So he's playing the people. Are you with me? So he's in power. The church is growing. There are Christians multiplying left and right. Well, who do you think would be upset about that? Herod? Well, not exactly. Rome? Rome could care less. You know who was upset? And we'll see it this morning. The Jews. Specifically, it was the Jewish leadership. They were against this movement of Christianity, and it's flourishing at this point in Acts chapter 12. So Herod is going to try to gain some points with the Jewish leaders. And to do that, he is going to vex or he's going to harass the church. His first move is against James, the James found in verse 2, because there's going to be another James coming up in verse 17 in a moment. He killed James, the apostle, with the sword. Crisis always generates prayer, and that's where we're going. We've got this onslaught coming about the church. So what happens? We're going to see in verses 3 on down that the church begins to pray. When a crisis comes, do we pray? I don't know about you, but I was going down a hill on a little sled and cut my finger in a hole. And I don't know if it's broke or not. I'm afraid to find out. But man, as soon as I got that, my finger yanked out of joint, I went, oh, Lord. Ow. And it kind of made me laugh because I'd read the scripture and kind of knew where we're going and how funny we are. In fact, all my life, even before I even knew God, something bad would happen. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. And then I began to realize, well, who am I calling out to? I don't even know who God is. And you see people, oh, man, they're living this way and they're living that way. They might be very good people, but they don't know God. Or they might be, partiers or drunks or whatever, or violent people. It doesn't matter. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, you need to be born again. You've got to come to faith in Christ to go to heaven. You've got to own him as your personal savior. But how often, and I've shared with you before about that earthquake that we had, and when I was working at Baxter, there's this earthquake going on. And one of this guy that was known for telling dirty jokes was right in the middle of a dirty joke. And he's telling it to everybody. He had such a big mouth. And he, yak, and the whole place started shaking. And he goes, oh God, somebody pray quick. And I thought, isn't that something? And we just stood there. There were three other Christians in that lab. And we looked at him and the earthquake's moving. And we looked at him and said, man, that's something. And he's hiding in the corner. Everybody wants to talk about prayer. Not too many people really want to do it. And even less than that, I think, understand it. But so often, God will use a crisis in our lives to get us to pray. He will often use even the life of a believer, a crisis, to get us on our knees that he can hear from us again. And on that slope playing with my kids, when I mangled my finger, I went, oh, Lord! And the Lord said, Jack, it's so good to hear from you again. How's it going? My finger hurts, you know. He just wants to hear from us. Prayer. What happens when we pray? We have a crisis here, and maybe you do too. Verse 3, and because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, circle that in your Bible, the Jews. It's not necessarily the entire nation, but the nation's leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the lawyers. He proceeded further to seize Peter. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread or Passover. Some of your translations might say Easter. That's unfortunate. Easter is a pagan celebration. This is Passover. So when he had, verse 4, apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to the four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. There's two things that are very important. First of all, four squadrons. The word in Greek is tetrads, four of them. 16 guys, 16 Roman soldiers. Listen, four of them. And this is, they actually did this. So guys, especially if you've ever played Army Guys, you're going to hear this. Four Roman soldiers that make up one squad, they were so trained and so armed in such a way that four of them could hold off, and they did this in maneuvers with their own soldiers, up to 1,000 men, they could protect a 20-square-foot area from 1,000 guys just by their military tactics. Doesn't this sound impossible? Yet they were able to do it. We're talking bad guys here. We're talking major buff soldiers who don't care because they have been engineered, they have been programmed not to goof up. Strong guys, elite soldiers. And so Peter is bound and Herod's intending to kill him at Passover or after Passover. We know that he's intending to kill him and we'll prove that in a moment. And it says there in verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer went up. People are praying. Peter's in jail. James is dead. We've got a crisis going on. We got a serious thing happening here. Peter is absolutely bound. Make no mistake about it. You can go and visit this prison on a Holy Land tour, but he is chained. We're talking about, think about the kind of day it is out here right now. It's cold. For some of you, you might think it's miserable. I think it's wonderful. Can you imagine being on a damp, cold day or night in prison, the type of prison that this is, and it's absolute stone, and you're laying there, and Peter is chained to these guys, and they have intentions to kill him? He already knows, you already know if you're Peter, that they killed James earlier. Herod tried to destroy the church by killing James, the apostle. Now he's moving over to attack Peter. Peter, the big leader from Jerusalem. And besides all that, we've been coming through Acts. We know that Peter is the one who's beginning to get pretty tight with the Gentiles. That's got the Jewish leadership all upset also. So this is going on. Peter enters prison, verse 5, but constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. I want to draw your attention to something right here, and we'll be going. Verse 5, notice this, jot this down. Their aim of prayer is God. They're not praying to a crystal ball. They're not praying to a statue. They're praying to God, direct. Paul the Apostle tells us there's only one mediator, there's only one go-between between man and God, and that is Christ Jesus. Only one. Note this, second thing, they are in constant prayer, or it's earnest prayer, serious prayer. Serious prayer. They're not playing games about it. They got a real struggle in their life. The third thing I want you to take note of is that it's by the church. The church is praying. God help us to be a praying church. Are you desperate enough? No, I just came to church, kind of breeze in, do my religious time, and get out. Well, there's people praying to that, or behind that door, right to your left. There's guys back there and women back there praying right now that your attitude is adjusted. There's people praying for every service that we have. There's people back there praying. There's people, when you're sick, you pick up the phone and you go, you know, I'm sick, right? I just went to the hospital and I got bad news. There's a prayer chain from this church and they're praying for you and you don't even know who they are and they're praying. But let me ask you, why did you pick up the phone to call the prayer chain to begin with? Because everything was going great? You think we ever get calls? You know what? I just want to tell you, things are going so good. Things couldn't be going any better. I just thought I'd call the church to tell you. That does not happen. It comes from everything from a little guy getting his dog run over to somebody getting a decree that they have cancer. Prayer. Crisis generates prayer in our lives. The church is praying. And yet people don't go to prayer meetings. It's not important enough. I don't mean this in any evil way at all. God knows my heart. But sometimes in Friday morning prayer, we'll have people show up that definitely go here, but I've never seen them at Friday morning prayer. And then afterwards, they want to talk. Well, you know why they came to prayer? Because they lost their job. Or they came home and they found a note. And the husband's gone away now with someone else. So they head for the prayer meeting. That's a good place to head. But we need to stay in that place of constant prayer. The church is praying.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Answers Prayer. Thanks for listening. And when the church comes together to pray in Jesus' name, get ready for God to move. When God Answers Prayer, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We've had such a huge response from our listeners who've joined in on our Facebook Live events called Happening Now. We want to remind you that Part 9 will be on September 19th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can join us in person or on Facebook Live. Amir Safarti, who has in-depth knowledge on the latest happenings in Israel, will be joining Pastor Jack as they discuss biblical prophecy in the light of current events. There will also be a question and answer period. And by the way, you don't have to have a Facebook account to join in. And what's more, you can now get the Volume 2 DVD set that contains Parts 5 through 8 to catch up on past Happening Now events. It's available for a limited time with a gift of any amount to this ministry. To get your Happening Now Volume 2 DVD set, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And be sure to pick up your copy today. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.